The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm going through withdrawal. I'm going through Todd Rundgren withdrawal. Bang on the drum withdrawal.
Maybe tell the Packers defense to play better.
Listen, Gabe. If the message were exclusive to the Packers defense, I might have time for that. But I don't have time to walk up to each individual person yesterday who needs to play better so I can get a little Todd Rundgren fix in the morning. Packers lose yesterday 31-29 to the Minnesota Vikings at home. Vikings improved to 4-0. Packers 2-2. We all know where the other loss was. It was the first game of the season. I do think I want to begin here. Gabe, I'm so sorry. Because you warned me. Mm-hmm. You warned us about the rust.
Yeah.
About the likelihood.
Yep.
That Jordan Love coming off of 2 weeks with the MCL injury would not be the Jordan Love that we were accustomed to, that we were used to, that we have grown to love.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not. Not at least early. Now, did he find a rhythm? Did he find himself
eventually,
as the game went on? Sure did. But by then it was too little too late. They had dug themselves too big of a hole, down 28 points. And while I was inspired by and proud of the effort in the second half, ugh, what an opportunity they let slip by. What an opportunity. Because in the second half of that game, Gabe, they were better than the Minnesota Vikings. I still believe. You don't think so?
To a degree, but like the Vikings had taken the foot off the gas kind of at that point, right? Like, and there are plenty of people out there. Well, if Narvison makes those field goals, well, sure, if Narvison makes those field goals, the Vikings are playing when they turn the ball over and downs inside the 10 a little bit differently too, right? They're not trying to get Aaron Jones his touchdown because that seemed something like Kevin O'Connell was trying to do. It seemed like he was desperately trying to get Aaron Jones his touchdown, his moment at Lambeau Field. So, I mean, when the game mattered the most, it was 28-7 at half. It's not good enough. It's bad.
Oh, and it was very bad. It was bad in all facets. You had talked about part of the reason they won those games with Malik Willis under center was that they played complementary football,
mm-hmm.
that they recognized that there may be a sort of deficiency at the quarterback position, the most important position, obviously, and everybody else kind of rose to the occasion. That did not happen. It was almost as though, psychologically speaking, I think, they knew Jordan Love was back, and it was like, whew. We got our guy. Okay, so the effort that we had put in the last couple of games, well, that wasn't required anymore. That wasn't needed anymore. And that's why you saw missed field goals and penalties, which we have seen first quarter of the season.
The penalty, they're one of the most penalized teams in the league. Like, that needs to get cleaned up ASAP because that's one of the things you can actually do. I mean, Narvison's been missing field goals. Like, I mean, if that guy's breathing a sigh of relief at any point, I mean, he needs... That's bad. And look, the front seven's just not good enough. It's not. It's been tested twice. They failed both times. Both times, the front seven has had an opportunity against better teams in this league. They have failed. They have not gotten a decent pass. They can't get home with four. They can't. The only time they're getting pressure right now is if Jeff Hafley dials up a blitz. And he didn't want to have to blitz in the first half because, well, they were without their top two corners. So he wanted to play a little bit more coverage, keep a safety back, try to keep these guys off an island.
Well, and, oh, by the way, they have some very, very talented wide receivers in Jefferson and Addison, who was back.
But
so.
It was 21-0, and Jefferson had one catch for 5 yards.
Because Addison came to play, right?
Sure.
Didn't he have the first two touchdowns?
Sure. But still, like, you have to have some sort of answer on your front seven. That front seven's been disappointing. The most, even more disappointing than Narvison through the first 4 weeks.
So this morning, you know, less than 24 hours removed from the final of yesterday's game, how are you feeling? Because I got to be honest with you, I thought I would feel worse. I thought I would be more upset. I thought I would be more despondent given where we were staring at, you know, a goose egg on the scoreboard as late as it was in the first half. But the way that they rallied, the way that they fought, the way that they did put together a competent offense, the way that they were able to chunk yardage down the field, I was like, oh, there is the version, or at least closer to the version, of the Green Bay Packers that we all expected to see in a division game. So there's a part of me that was like, I don't feel as bad. I'm not as angry as I thought I was going to be earlier in the day.
The offense is going to be fine. Jordan didn't play well enough, but we knew that was going to be a possibility because, again, like it's early in the season. He wasn't playing in preseason games. He played in one game, missed two, and while he was limited in practice, you knew he was going to be a little bit rusty and still made... he's got to clean up these decisions late in games. Now we've seen it. We saw it against San Francisco last year, and then, you know, Harrison Smith surprised him, so he just, you know, decides to chuck it up to the end zone, which that to me is what killed it. Because they had an opportunity. They had the ball at that point. They had the ball with an opportunity to tie the game. And that interception, that was their last chance that they had that. Yes, it's nice that they went down and scored a touchdown, but look, I mean, the onside kick was just, I mean, they had no chance of ever getting that. So
sure.
Ends up making the score look a little bit closer than it actually was. So they had an opportunity, they had a chance, and Jordan Love threw that interception. But look, the offense is going to be fine. They still were able to move the ball up and down. Wicks had some, you know, some drops, but he was able to get open against what's been a very good defense. And when you see those guys get open and then start factoring in, okay, when they actually can then run the ball because they're not down by 1,000 points, the offense is going to be fine. Got no problems with the offense. I believe Jordan's going to clean up the decision-making. He's going to be closer to what we saw in the last 8 games of last year.
But I feel like there's a giant but coming here because I asked you how you feel. You feel like the offense is going to be fine. But this morning, are you despondent? Are you okay?
Defense stinks. Defense isn't good enough. And the more I see, I'm not blaming Jeff Hafley. Because I think Hafley, again, put in a tough spot. Everybody has to deal with this. Everybody's got to deal with injuries. Being without your top two corners, it happens. I'm not blaming him because I think he's putting guys in positions to succeed. But what I'm seeing is guys who just aren't good enough. Like this, what I am learning through the first 4 games is right now, last year, yeah, Joe Barry was an issue. But so was some of these players on defense. And again, I'm particularly looking at the front 7. Because Xavier McKinney, you know, had another interception yesterday. Unbelievable. 4 picks in 4 games. I like the secondary. But if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, no secondary has. You could have a secondary with Darrell Revis and Deion Sanders and Leroy Butler and Ed Reed. Just 4 Pro Football Hall of Famers back there. If you can't get a pass rush on a quarterback, they don't have a chance. Packers can't get a pass rush. Can't get it with 4. Paying Rashawn Gary all that money. Can't get home. Just gave Kenny Clark an extension. He's been, you know, widely missing through 4 games. Especially when it comes to a pass rush. Like, nobody's getting home. And that's concerning to me. So when you're going to be playing some of these better teams like Detroit later in the season, like, it feels like it's almost got to be, you're going to have to win via shootout because I don't know how much you can count on this defense.
What bothers you most? Is that it across the board?
Yeah, it's the pass rush. The pass rush. And then I saw this. So I saw this morning from our friend Justice Mosqueda over at Acme Packing Company. And he did a little research per NFL Pro Advanced Stats. The average league-wide pressure rate is 12.5% for somebody lining up a defensive end. The Packers' best pass rusher is Rashawn Gary by the statistics. 11.7% pressure rate. So that's below average. And he's their best one. He's their best one. I saw Andy Herman tweet yesterday. Rashawn Gary has 1 sack in the last 11 games. 1. That's what you get paid for, the sacks. And there's no difference maker in that front 4. Edgerrin Cooper's got potential. Hopefully he can live up to that. But that he's really the only one for me that has stood out in the first 4 games in that front 7. I like the secondary, like a lot of the potential there. Whew, that front 7 is just so bad. given up a bunch of rushing yards. I mean, yesterday wasn't as bad. You know, 22 carries, 94 yards for Aaron Jones. I thought that would be worse. But, I mean, Sam Darnold was just able to sit back there and pick you apart. It's not good. There's a lot better quarterbacks in this league that you're going to have to beat come playoff time, which is the expectation now after last year. You got to play better than this, than they have through the first four games. And the, to me, pass rush doesn't come down to scheme, because you can do different things with blitzes and you can do some stunts. A lot of times, especially when you're a guy in Rashawn Gary's position, you're lining up one-on-one with the tackle across from you. Can you beat that guy? And right now, the answer is, well, he can beat him, just, you know, less than most other guys can beat him in the league.
800-990-3776. What is the one thing that bothers you the most about yesterday's loss to the Vikings? It could be as simple as, it's the Vikings, and it was a division game, and now the Vikings are in the catbird seat in the division. It could be the missed field goals. Do they need to go out and get another kicker? Because Narveson isn't cutting it right now. And, oh, by the way, yes, we saw your tweets about Greg Joseph. Yes, we saw Greg Joseph. Line. Yes, we recognize that maybe, just maybe, this front office, this brass is not good at identifying kicking talent. All of those things are distinct possibilities. Was it the low throws by Jordan Love? Because there were a lot of them where guys had to go down and get them. And I think on the broadcast they were talking about this, because of the knee injury, there's something about him not following through with the throw. And so the ball is kind of nosediving. Did you kind of put those two together and think that they were related?
Well, I think Trent Green did a really good job of breaking that down in terms of just some of the mechanics that you had to deal with. And Jason brought this up on Green Bay game day before the game yesterday, which isn't something I thought of. Like, Jordan in his NFL career hasn't, the one thing he didn't really have to deal with last year was injury. And at some point in the NFL, you just have to play hurt. I mean, everybody does it. Everybody's got stories. Chewy's got a million stories. But when you're doing it for the first time, like, there are different things you have to do in order, and I think he figured it out as the game went along, but it's one of those things you have to learn how to do. Okay, my knee isn't able to do this, therefore I have to do this and this in order to compensate for that. And again, he was able to figure it out as the game went along. He was really good in the second half, minus the, you know, Brett Favre-like interception into the end zone. But I think that's one of the things you have to learn to deal with that he hadn't really had to deal with before. And that went into, I think, the rust in the inaccuracy and the poor play in the first half.
800-990-3776. Was it the interceptions? Do you give Jordan Love a pass because you know he maybe wasn't playing at 100%? I got a lot of folks weighing in on the YouTube page saying he just wasn't ready to go. That from Jaylion. It's as simple as that. So would you have preferred Malik Willis out there?
No.
Would you have preferred that they had said, no, Jordan, take another week? Because I don't know that you're getting a result different than what you walked away with if Malik Willis is under center.
Again, I think it's just there's some, like, no matter when he came back, there was going to be rust there. And there was going to be, oh man, maybe he's not ready. Well, there's just going to be some rust because he hasn't played football. I think we're past that stage now, and they still almost won that game. The offense looked really good in the second half, and that's something you can build off of going forward. That's something you can build off of going into this game against the Rams this weekend.
I liked what Xavier McKinney did. I was disappointed that they were not able to convert on the interception. I'm not even sure that it was an interception. I know they looked at it long and hard, and was the elbow down, and did he catch it out of bounds? And the officials were like, let's just give it to him. They're having a tough day.
How was that a catch? And the other three that they reviewed were not.
I thought there was no chance. It felt like they were just giving us one.
That's what I said.
We've kind of screwed
They're having
you.
Having a tough day.
You can have it. This is for you guys.
I mean, I think. Thank you.
The entire booth felt similar. Yeah. They were like, I don't know, this is weird.
I thought the biggest thing for Jordan Love was, and the reason why it's not smart to start Malik Willis is he's going to have to figure out how to play with that MCL at some point. And they talked about it on the broadcast. He was and he's known to do the fadeaway thing, but it was more egregious than normal because he wasn't confident. And then as the game went on, it was like as if there was no injury there, even after he grabbed his knee that one time.
20 of 30 in the second half.
Yeah.
How many times has Chewy told us when you're coming off of an injury, even if it's a full season, just a couple of weeks, takes you to get popped for that first time?
100%. Got
to
get hit.
Oh, wait. It's still there. Oh, we're fine.
Everything's good.
All right, here we go. Let's roll.
It almost feels like I felt like the broadcast didn't talk about it. There were some tweets about it, but he grabbed his knee after he took that sack, and I was like, uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And that seems like when he figured it out is when he was better. through the rest of the game is when he got confidence. He's like, oh, I can take hits. Like, this is fine. It's just I have to deal with it.
Because that's also, as a quarterback, something you're not going to do ever in practice.
Right.
800-990-3776. We are asking you this morning, what bothered you the most about the loss? Was it the fact that they did rally and it was right there within their reach and they just couldn't finish it? Maybe it is as simple as the field goals. Maybe it is as simple as the interceptions. Maybe, like Gabe, you're concerned about what that loss showed you and how that will carry on through the rest of the season. Gabe has a huge issue with the pass rush and their inability to get home. 800-990-3776. Talking Green Bay all morning long. We will get to the Brewers as well. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll be right back after this.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a longstanding commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas as well.
They don't work. They're called poop.
No,
they're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Second down, 8. Oh, they bring the blitz with Mitchum. That's a loud ball. Scooped up on the play, taken by Green Bay.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy talking about the Packers' loss yesterday, an opportunity right there at the end. Dug themselves a huge hole, could not dig themselves out of it. We go to the phone lines, 800-990-3776. What is the thing that bothered you the most? Lots to choose from yesterday in the loss, the two-point loss. But what bothers you the most? Let's go out to Ricardo in Canada. Oh, Canada, Ricardo. What bothered you the most about the Packers' loss yesterday?
The worst thing about yesterday, and the only thing that's going to come out of it, is we need to fix the kicking situation. This is a mortal wound that if it doesn't get fixed, it's going to cost us a championship again. I don't care what you have to do. Tell Rich to take a week to go to high school and bring in every kicker from around the country. We need to find one guy. There has to be one guy in America. Hell, there's somebody in Canada that can kick the ball through the uprights on a consistent basis. The fact that he missed those two field goals, I'm not saying that it would have changed it. It would have stopped the bleeding. It would have stopped the avalanche from happening. The offense will figure itself out when Jordan Love's knee is better. He learned in the second half. Conley will adapt. He started sending more pressure. He moves with the game. The kicking situation is a joke. We are too good of a franchise to let this happen. Bring in anybody, somebody from the country. There's over 20 million people. One person can kick the damn ball through the upright. Find him. Anybody. I don't care if he's 50. I don't care if he's 18. Find them. Enough is enough.
Ricardo, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Gabe and I doing a little bit of research in the break. So if you go to NFL.com, stats, special teams, field goals, you know what? Don't. Because the Packers are the fourth worst team this year at field goal percentage across the board. A little shocking team that is in there in the top four guys, the Ravens. I think most people think that Justin Tucker is one of the best to do it, the best of all time. And he is having a very difficult season. He is having a tough season. They are second in the league at 62.5%, but the Packers are fourth worst in the league at 69.2%. And Gabe, it gets even worse if you click over to the 40 through 49 attempts versus makes. Packers are the worst team in the league. Their kicker is 3 of 6, 50% from 40 to 49, which again, we have talked about. What an asset to teams to not have to drive that far down the field and be able to put points on the board in this day and age. In this era of kickers, you should be able to put points on the board when you've got a guy kicking from 40 to 49 and they are 50% from that distance with Narvison this year.
Anything under 50 yards is, I mean, I don't want to say it's a gimme, but I can't believe you missed that in the NFL. And they're shooting, they're 50% from that. It's bad. I don't know what they do. I don't know if they bring in kickers for a workout. I don't know who is out there to go find. Everybody saw it. Well, what about Mason Crosby? No, Mason Crosby is not coming back.
Who happened to be at Lambeau Field yesterday for an event, right? He was meeting people and meet and greet.
And as Jason has pointed out many a time, last year Mason was still working out, putting videos on social media. Hey, look, you need a kicker, still right here. I don't think he's been doing that. So that's not an option. I don't know what the best option is right now. I mean, bringing somebody from the outside is to me the only option, but I don't know who that is.
Do you expect them this week to go out and bring in some guys to try out?
At the
and
very
what does
least,
that do to Narvis and psyche, which again, you and I have talked about this all the time. It's a big boy league. You got to deal with competition. If you haven't held up your end of the donkey, I would expect my bosses to go out and say, let's see if we can do better.
He needs to expect that they're bringing somebody in. And typically that tryout day is Tuesday, which is the team off day. So we'll have to keep an eye out for the Tom Silversteins, the Rob DeMott. Well, I guess Rob can't tweet it out. So just Tom Silverstein to tweet it out since Rob still hasn't gotten his account back.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, he got hacked last week.
I did not know
that. Oh, yeah. He got hacked. Still doesn't have it back.
Oh, good to know. Hopefully I didn't bite on any fake Rob Domofsky tweets over the last few days. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Dan in Sheboygan. Dan, the thing that bothered you the most about yesterday's loss?
2-point game, missed 2 field goals. How long is this franchise with that? And the San Francisco game with the block punt and the Seattle game with the onside kick. How long has this franchise been chasing special teams demons? When are they going to value special teams?
I mean, I think they do value it.
Well, and they paid the coach a lot of money. That should have been an indication that it was important to them, right?
I mean, I think that makes it worse that they value it and still are bad at it. But they definitely value it.
It would be better if they didn't value it.
Correct.
And were bad. Because you'd have a built-in excuse.
Because you'd be like, oh, here's the solution. We just have to care about it.
But we don't care.
Yes,
so,
we just have to care about it.
Yes, but when Bisaccia is making, because again, at the time, he was the highest paid special teams coordinator or coach in the league.
So when you care about it, and then you're also bad, I don't know what the solution is.
So is Matt LaFleur waning? Is Matt LaFleur starting to feel like, and look, well, if he said what he said last year about Anders, pray, right? Mm-hmm. I imagine that there's a whole freaking rosary going on at the LaFleur household when it comes to the kicker situation right now, because you thought you had fixed it. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur yesterday when asked about his confidence in his kicker.
I got a lot of confidence in Braden. I do. I think that, you know, I know it's tough. We all want the results. I think he's a young guy, and a lot of times with young kickers that you go through this. Certainly, I think I know he's disappointed, but I still got a lot of belief in him. I've seen it in practice. I told you guys from day one, the day he got here, and just have seen his ability. So, you know, it's just part of it. Unfortunately, it wasn't his day, but I got a lot of confidence, and I wouldn't blink if we have to put him out there in another situation.
Here's the problem. I'm not saying that Matt LaFleur is lying. I would never say that. What I am saying is talent alone at that position in particular, Gabe, is not the thing that matters most. It's cojones. It just is. You're out there all alone. You're on an island, maybe the snapper, right? And the guy and the holder, but you have to put it through. If you're in that position, it's because your offense wasn't able to get it in the end zone, right? But the consolation is, well, we didn't get 6/7, but we're going to get 3. We're going to settle for 3. And if you don't have the confidence or the cojones to believe that you can stand in that position and get your team points, it doesn't matter how talented you are. And this guy could have all the talent in the world. He could make every single kick during practice. And it doesn't matter if you can't do it when there's 80,000 people in the stands and the game is on the line.
LaFleur has to say that because Narvison still could be the kicker next week. I mean, they could bring in 3 kickers tomorrow for a workout and still decide, we still like our chances better with Narvison. So he can't be up there at the podium going, No, our guy stinks. We got to replace him. But if they can't find anybody better to replace him. You know, so I don't know how much Matt LaFleur believes that. I just do know that that's what he has to say when asked about the kicker that's currently on his team.
So the kicker seems to be getting a lot of votes as for the thing that is bothering people the most this morning. Is that because it's a singular thing? Some of these other things, like you mentioned the pass rush specifically, that is a unit thing, maybe even a coaching thing, right? There's no coaching involved with Narvison missing field goals, right? What does the coach say to him? Make it.
Yeah.
You know? So is it people kind of are moved towards that? There's like they're pulled towards the kicker because the other things are a little more involved or difficult to identify. Like you're talking about the pass rush. That's not just one player or one thing that they need to do to improve that. That's a whole unit thing. Is that your vibe on that? Like it's a little more complicated to
this is the easiest
diagnose
thing.
And fix?
This is the easiest thing to point to. And again, I honestly don't know. If he makes both of those kicks, like the game is just so different. The Vikings play it differently. If he makes both those kicks, I don't know if the Packers win or lose. Honestly, have no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because from a simple math standpoint, it feels like they win.
Correct. But again, the Vikings play things differently, right? Like they're not just grinding it out. I mean, do they score a touchdown? Do they make it 38-29 instead of, you know,
a field goal?
Yeah. Well, not even a field goal. They turned it over on downs late in the game. You know, and instead of just trying to get Aaron Jones his touchdown, if it's a tighter game, maybe Sam Darnold throws it to Justin Jefferson and that puts it out of reach. I don't know. The Vikings play it differently. Yes, from a pure math standpoint, 6 points, they lost by two, they win by four. I don't think it's that simple because he missed those field goals relatively still early in the game. So it's an easy thing to point to because you can see it with your eyes. Oh, he missed that. The kicker is one of those things in sports that is purely one or zero. Did he make the kick? Did he miss the kick? Well, I keep seeing this guy misses the kicks, and that's bad for my team. So it's very easy to diagnose, and it's very easy to go, that needs to be better. It's just super easy. And yeah, it needs to be better. I don't try. How much confidence do you have from Narvison from under 40 yards?
Not a lot.
What about between 40 and 50?
Also not a lot.
What about over 50?
None.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, just figure out when we would get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zero. 800-990-3776. We will put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Do you have confidence in the Packers kicker? Do you have confidence when he goes out there, he will put points on the board? I imagine that the Packers will be looking around to see if there's anyone else out there. But because they have protected guys' feelings in the past, there's a part of them that feels like by doing that, Gabe, they have put themselves in a tough spot. Because we have talked about how at times they have continued to publicly give guys flowers and give guys shower them with praise and things like that. When you're going, really? Things aren't as great as you're making them seem, but it's because they don't want them to. And Malik Willis is a great example of that, right?
Yeah, but this
is... Have they gotten themselves in trouble, essentially, by kind of going that path instead of just the straight accountability? It wasn't good enough. We expect him to be better, and we'll have to figure out a way to make it better.
Sure, but with Narvison, I don't know if Narvison's one of their guys yet, right? They traded for Malik with a plan. Okay, Malik's going to be our long-term backup. Like, this guy's going to be here. We're going to develop him. This is our plan. I don't know if they picked up Narvison because their long-term plan didn't work out. And I wonder how much, you know, Brian Gutekunst admitting that he gets impatient with the kicker is going to play a factor into this. Is he actually going to be impatient with the kicker? Is he going to try to show and exercise patience this time around? It's going to be fascinating to see if they bring in anybody tomorrow.
800-990-3776. Did it seem like the Vikings were oftentimes grabbing at Jordan's leg? That from Ben. Not kicker related, but an interesting concept. Look, if you're out there, you're out there, right? Like, all bets are off. All's fair in love and war type of thing. Like, if you have a knee injury, and I'm not saying that you should be dastardly, but I am saying that if you know somebody's been dealing with a leg and you got to make a tackle, I think it was the sack that he's probably referring to specifically, where he's grabbing around that left ankle and pulling. I got no problem with it. That's football.
Well,
it's making a play.
It also, like, if you're trying to bring down a quarterback in the pocket, your hit zone is so different in the way you can bring him down and all these different things. So I did not notice anything yesterday that I thought the Vikings were intentionally going out of their way to go after Jordan Love's knee.
Don weighing in saying, game review, the team was not motivated. Starters on the offensive line don't fear being replaced because there is no one to replace them. The defensive front seven are so overpaid, they need motivation and change. Kicker needs coaching. Same miss to the right. He falls away pushing the ball right. Get better, Pack, get better. That from Don in Mayville. And Justin, of course, stating the obvious, way too many dropped passes, got to clean up all the flags, and can't create pressure with four. It does feel like because there were so many things that you can point at, we should be feeling depressed, despondent, frustrated. I don't feel that way this morning. And maybe it's because the second half was the balm to the first half for me, and I was like, okay, I know this team can put up points. I know this team can win games. But Gabe, you're saying that defense could be its Achilles heel.
Yeah, without a doubt.
We'll get into that as the show rolls on right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for that ring. They're the best place to shop in Milwaukee for diamond engagement rings for a reason. It's what I did. It's what you should do as well. Maybe you don't really have an idea of what that perfect ring looks like. Well, go on her Pinterest page, grab some of those ideas, bring them into the Jewelry Center, and the helpful team that Dean has assembled is always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for a lab-grown diamond, whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or shop online at shoptjc.com. Make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
color
could, like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chimura household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Second down, goal. Love. And leaping catch, touchdown! Jaden Reed beating Byron Murphy. And the Packers are finally on the board.
Packers fall to 2-2 yesterday with the loss to the Vikings. And Gabe had a real problem with the defense. I guess we're giving Jordan a pass, which I think is understandable, considering he was coming off the injury, considering we weren't sure if we were going to see him. It was a blessing to have Jordan Love back out there. But Gabe was way in front of this. Early last week, he said he's going to be rusty. He's not going to be the Jordan Love at the end of last year when he was in a rhythm where he had found something. There are going to be struggles and challenges for the QB.
I appreciate that you've apologized, Jen. Josh, you have anything you'd like to say?
Never. We okay. Celebrate wins here.
All right. All right.
I thought we were team accountability. I thought we did a whole show one morning about how we were like, no? Okay.
What am I going to apologize for being like, hey, the Packers won and there's things to be excited about?
Well, yeah, but at the time we were having a different conversation.
Yeah, but the conversation was precipitated by you after the Packers won two in a row
me
with the backup
right?
quarterback. We being were, like, oh, this, but what about next? Well, can I enjoy it?
Me being right?
Can I enjoy it once?
I was right, though, right? Play the Gabe, you were right button back there.
That one's broken.
even worse, it doesn't exist. It's way worse than it actually existing and being broken. 800-990-3776. What is the one thing that bothered you the most
what was
about
it for
yesterday's
you?
Loss?
Because you walked in feeling pretty good this morning. What's the thing that bothered you the most?
Probably the interceptions. Just again, even if Jordan was going to be not the Jordan Love that we saw last year, it just giving the ball to the opponent in a division game that often, that's what stung. You know, and again, were there jokes about him wearing the Brett Favre jersey into the stadium yesterday? Yes, there were.
Hell
many,
of a tribute.
Many, many jokes. Yes. If you're going to honor Favre, I guess this is how you do it. You know,
have a great game and a bad game simultaneously.
All in one.
It's fantastic.
But all kidding aside, it was a nice gesture by Jordan to wear the Favre jersey after what Favre revealed earlier this week.
The only interception that really bothered me was the one in the end zone where he just chucked it up. Because there was the one interception that went through, was it Musgrave or Kraft's hands?
Musgrave.
And, yeah, went through Musgrave's. I mean, the throw's a little high, but whatever.
It was supposed to be to Dobbs, is what we've found out, and that's why Dobbs was so mad, because he thought he would have caught it, but it hit both of their hands.
Yeah. So, and then it just, because the way it ended up getting tipped, it just fell right into the defensive back's lap for the Vikings. And again, that the only one I really thought was truly egregious was just kind of losing your cool and chucking it up for grabs in the end zone.
I'm always going to have a problem with penalties. I know it's an age-old coachism that the mental mistakes, you know, those are the things you really don't ever want to see. So again, as you mentioned, Gabe, that is something that they need to continue to clean up. But it was not as disappointing at the end as I thought it was going to be. I was much angrier when they were pitching a shutout early on. And I thought, show a little pride. Where the hell, you know what I mean? Like, get yourself out of this hole. Put some points on the board. Guys, you're better than this. And obviously in the second half, I feel like they redeemed themselves in that space. I want to stay with the defense, though, because we had talked about this defense was going to be the thing We knew what the offense could do. This defense was going to be the thing that either wins them a championship or keeps them from it. And so far, four games in, Gabe, are you telling me that even with them leading the league in takeaways headed into yesterday's game, mm-hmm. even with that those details,
mm-hmm.
you are still not in, not sold on Jeff Hafley's defense?
They're 20th in points, 21st in yards. And the turnovers are great. And you want to be able to create those turnovers, certainly. And it's great that they have more interceptions already through four games than they had all of last year. I think those are all positive things. But also, when you're playing the best teams, when you're playing the teams that you have to and the ones that are, you know, that you're going to have to play in the postseason, those teams turn the ball over less. You're not going to be able to create three turnovers more than likely in that game. Maybe you get one interception, but you've just got to play better overall fundamental defense. I mean, under Joe Barry, last year they were 10th in points, 17th in yards. 2022, they were 17th in both. 2021, 13th in points, 9th in yards. 20th in points, 21st in yards. So even though they're getting those turnovers, they're still giving up a crap ton of yards. They're still giving up a crap ton of points.
Well, and I think the concern is also, guys, if you read or listen to the sound from defensive players, it seems like they feel like I feel, which is, oh yeah, it was bad, but look how close we came to winning. Look how close we came to actually pulling that sucker out. Like, if you read from Edgerrin Cooper and you read from Xavier McKinney, they're all saying things like, yeah, it wasn't our best effort, but we almost won.
Yeah, because
Did you notice how we almost won?
Because the offense almost had a miraculous comeback. If you had the inkling that Jordan Love was going to come out rusty, and again, I think you probably could have an idea, you got to start faster. You have to make sure that you don't dig yourself a big enough hole that it seems almost impossible to come out, and it was impossible to come out of yesterday because they didn't do it. Would have been the largest comeback in franchise history, 28 points. So you got to play better. I don't care that you got close to winning. The reason why you lost is because you gave up 31 points. Probably could have given up more.
800-990-3776. Xavier McKinney becomes the first Packer in franchise history with four picks through his first four games with the team. I still think he is a great addition to this defense. I still think that by season's end, we are going to be talking about him potentially as one of the best to ever play in the defensive backfield for the Green Bay Packers. And that is saying a lot considering, oh, I don't know, you got Leroy Butler out there who is a Hall of Famer and a Pro Football Hall of Famer who donned the green and gold.
The other name worth mentioning here is the last person to pick off four in a row, Nick Collins. And everyone started talking about him feeling like a Nick Collins type addition. And so far, he's fit the bill in every imaginable way. I think there's a big issue on the front seven.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little more optimistic because I think the defense is more opportunistic and I think Jeff Hafley can get them there. I think he's going to help them overcome some deficiencies, but there is nothing he can do about not getting home at all. Right. There he could be called the best defensive game ever. And if you can't create any pressure, like Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, where are you? And I've always been a Kenny Clark supporter, but he has been virtually non-existent. And I know we're all down on Devontae Wyatt, but if he misses substantial time, that's a big problem because he's leading that front seven in sacks right now.
Devontae Wyatt's the one guy who's actually looked like he's improved in the front seven under Jeff Hafley. It seems like, oh, this one where he doesn't, you know, he seems more assignment sure. He can be more aggressive the way he was at Georgia. He seemed more like the guy, I mean, like really the only one.
Correct.
So if, I'm 100% with you. If he's out,
Maybe we haven't talked enough about the fact that Jair Alexander was out. Guys, where did that even come from? You know, I asked my husband, I said, I'm not here on Fridays, mm-hmm. right? And I'm covering college football and I'm in the mix there. But all of a sudden he shows up on the injury report and it was like, Jair Alexander may not play on Sunday. What? What is your understanding of what happened there?
So it was a quad that limited him initially. That's what he was listed as. And again, this point in the season, when somebody's limited in practice, unless you're told by somebody, whether it's with the staff or somebody like Adam Schefter saying, hey, pay attention to this. Somebody's limited in practice, especially back-to-back days. You're going, okay, especially Jair. He's a veteran at this point. All right, they're taking it easy because he knows what he's got to do to get his body ready if he has to play injured. But when they added the groin and he did not practice at all on Friday, that's when suddenly it's like, oh, and now he's questionable. excuse me, what? He didn't practice and now he's questionable? So there are a lot of questions that I think have to be answered there. I don't know if it was a groin all along, and who knows. But if he's out significant amount of time, yeah, that's certainly going to hurt. But it wasn't just him. It was also him and Valentine, because those are your top two corners. So now you're playing a game without your top two. And again, I think that's why Halfley decided not to be as aggressive as he was in the second half, because he wanted to try to, you know, generate pressure with just four to try to do his best to protect those guys on the back end. And in the second half, down 28, you're just throwing all caution to the wind trying to come back.
Yeah, Nick in the 262 is willing to use that as not an excuse, but an explanation. He says when you lose your best CB, and you mentioned it wasn't just the one, but it was the two, the whole defensive game plan changes, especially the pass rush when you don't trust the backups. Let's get to Matt LaFleur,
you still have to generate pressure with four. Like, that has nothing to do with Jair being injured. Have to generate pressure with four. And again, that's not a Halfley problem. That's a player problem. They don't, right now, their front four, not playing good enough. Has to be better. And if they can't play good enough, then we have to take a deeper look at who they're drafting there and why they're giving them the money.
Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who was asked about Jair being out and how that affected the defense as a whole.
It is what it is. That's no different than an in-game injury. You got to make an adjustment as a staff. And I just, to me, that we're just, that's an excuse. I will never use that around here. Like, next man up, we got to adjust our game plan if need be. Does it help you? Absolutely not. I mean, you want your best players out there, but, you know, I'll never go down that road of using that as an excuse.
But we recognize that there is a drop-off from your starters to your backup, right? Like, we can't sit here and be like, oh, no, a guy who is the backup player at any given position is supposed to play as though he is as good as the starter. There is a talent drought there, or the guy wouldn't be a backup.
Sure, but you have to figure out a way to win, right? We weren't making excuses. Hey, they won games with,
Malik
at the
Willis.
most important position, they figured it out with Malik Willis. So injuries are part of the NFL. And if Jair's going to be out, who knows what this injury is? Maybe he's back against the Rams. Maybe it ends up being a long-term injury. We just don't know enough about it. And if, he was out for 10 games last year. I don't remember having this conversation last year and, oh, let's give Joe Barry a break because Jair, I mean, he missed 9 because of injury, 1 because he was suspended after the whole Carolina thing. But nobody was giving Joe Barry, just because we like Jeff Halfley, we want to give him a pass on that. Injuries are a part of the NFL. And you got to be able to figure it out.
800-990-3776. The thing that upset you the most, that bothered you the most, that frustrated you the most about the Packers' 2-point loss to the Vikings yesterday at Lambeau Field. We continue to roll on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Guys, I want to tell you about my friends over at Accutrans. They're a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. Whether it's corporate travel or a wedding or group events, Accutrans caters to every occasion. I keep telling you guys, we are hitting dance season. Maybe you have a high schooler like I do who wants to go to the big dance but can't drive themselves yet. Or maybe you don't want the kids driving because they're going to be having a lot of fun out there. Accutrans is the way to go, guys. Call up Accutrans. Tell them where you need them to go. They'll pick them up at your house. They'll take them to dinner. They'll take them from dinner to the dance. They'll take them from dance to home. And you don't have to worry on your Saturday night. AccutransGroup.com is the site for reliable and safe transportation that I use for me and my family.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thesaurus.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
good
getting
good pop. Good pop.
That's,
whoa.
I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Coverage on 94.5 ESPN is part of the Hunt for Brew October. It is sponsored by Delta Dental. Brewers, they're done for, right? Season is over. They move on to the postseason, but there are still questions about who they will play because
chaos.
There is a doubleheader in Major League Baseball today that directly impacts who the Brewers play in the first round of the postseason, Gabe.
Three teams still alive. Diamondbacks, they are done. Then you have the Braves, you have the Mets. And the Braves and Mets are playing a doubleheader. Games that are going to be on ESPN2, by the way. So if you want to check those out, go ahead, watch on ESPN2. If one of those teams splits, that means the Diamondbacks will be in, and they will be coming to Milwaukee for that game that starts around 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. If they end up splitting, the Diamondbacks are out, Mets and the Braves are in, Braves get all the tiebreakers, they become the fifth seed, Mets would come here tomorrow for game one of the three-game series.
All right, so what are you rooting for?
Well, I don't want the Diamondbacks, so I would prefer the Mets, and the best way to do that would be the Braves winning game one, and then the Mets win game two, because you have to have the split, and if whoever wins game one today is probably going to take game two pretty easily, because they've got a game they have to play that means a whole heck of a lot the following day, and the second game of the doubleheader doesn't mean a ton to them because they're already in. Winner of game one gets in. So if the Mets lose game one, they still have to play game two as if it's a must win, because it is. So they've got to use more of their pitching. They have to go a little bit harder before then turning around and coming to Milwaukee tomorrow.
Are we setting up for potential double locker room celebration here for teams making the playoffs with a split? Like, if they do split, because okay, you're not going to celebrate between games.
Sure.
So then, in the event of a split,
yeah,
you've got two teams in each locker room popping champagne.
Sure, but also I don't know how quickly or how long those celebrations are going to last, because as I mentioned, the Brewers are starting their series at 4:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
So you got to get on that plane and get to Milwaukee quickly if you're the Mets.
What a bizarre situation to find yourselves in.
I absolutely love it.
So you'll be tuned in. You'll be locked in.
You can't pry me away from that television.
It's an absolute terrible situation for the teams having to go through it and do quick turnaround.
God, if this was the Brewers, I'd be so mad.
Yeah, but it's
also
great
from
for
a Brewers standpoint, yeah, exactly. Yeah. The fact that you are in action today, the fact that you have to use your pitching staff today and then start a series. Why are you so high on them playing the Mets versus the Diamondbacks?
Because the Diamondbacks have been one of the best offenses in baseball. Really, I think since either June 1st or middle of June, they've kind of refound the form in the second half of the season to what they were a year ago. And again, the Mets coming off of this, the Diamondbacks are sitting there. They don't have anything to do today. Like, the Diamondbacks, you know, can't really do much at this point. So they're going to be more rested. They're going to be ready to go. Whereas, again, the Mets may have to use some pitchers today in order to clinch their playoff spot that they would have liked to use tomorrow, but now won't be able to use tomorrow. It just puts the Brewers at a much more competitive advantage. I look at the Mets lineup. I'm not super scared by it versus the Diamondbacks lineup.
Big day for Major League Baseball. A doubleheader after 162 to determine playoff seeding still in the National League. We roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.